Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Melbourne, Florida, earned a bachelor's degree in interpersonal communication from the University of Central Florida. In 2007, she joined the Sisters of Life and made her final vows in 2015. The Sisters of Life are a contemplative, active Roman Catholic community of women religious who profess the three traditional vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and a fourth vow to protect and enhance the sacredness of human life. Her name, Sister Bethany Madonna, SV. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Sister Bethany Madonna, who I met a few months ago in Orlando at the Good News Conference. Fabulous young lady. Sister, yeah. Welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack.
Can we please start tonight by you leading us in an opening prayer, please?
Yes, please. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Father, we bless you and thank you. We praise you for your goodness and for your generosity and for your lavish love. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and for sending him to reveal you to us, to let us taste mercy and a new life in him. We ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon each of us, each of the listeners on this radio station, that we would be able to perceive you and receive you more deeply and respond to your promptings and inspirations. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who makes everything new. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. Let's go back. Talk about your mom, your dad, and your childhood, please.
I actually love that I rarely get to do that. So I was raised in a Catholic home. My dad came into the church, the Catholic Church, right after my first Holy Communion. So he was a Protestant and experienced a conversion. But, yeah, they both met in the Air Force, and my mom was a nurse, and my dad was in missiles, and... yeah, they're amazing people. They're very good. They're down to earth. They keep me grounded. They're faithful and generous. And, I learned so much from them growing up, and I think I just grow in my appreciation for them as the years pass.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, Sister?
You know, my mom is extremely, extremely faithful, very devout, loves Jesus and the Eucharist, is not ashamed to do extra, you know, little acts of love and devotion, stopping into a church, passing by, going to the Kiss Our Lady at the statue, kneeling at the creche scene, we were the only children at Stations of the Cross for years that I could remember every Friday in Lent. So she really taught me that Jesus is the priority and that he is everything and worth everything. And she also never met a stranger. I remember she'd have very personal, intimate conversations with people, you know, in elevators, at the grocery store, or wherever we were. And I'd say, oh, did you know that person, Mom? No, just met him. So I had no sense that she hadn't, like, grown up with them or went way back. So she taught me that. Yeah, as a family, as Christians, we love one another and treat each other with the same regard and esteem as we would want to be treated. So, yeah, she's a lover and, a very good, strong, and courageous woman.
And Dad?
Dad. I'm the only daughter in my family, so I have a special relationship with my dad. And I was remembering recently a Take My Daughter to Work Day, you know, Take Your Daughter to Work Day. And I think it was to help young women, you know, want to have jobs and careers and, like, that sort of thing. But I remember being about 8, and I went to my dad's work with him, and he was an officer, so lots of salutes and things. And I remember we were going to go bowling during lunch, and I was excited about that. But while I watched him work, I wasn't thinking about having his job or, like, myself being a career woman. I just was so... admiring him, loving us and working for us. That's all I could think of. Like, my dad does this every day to provide for me and my brothers, and it's just amazing to be able to watch him do it, even though it was very boring desk work that I could see. But my dad retired early rather than take on a new tour, because we were all in high school, my brothers and I, and he didn't want to uproot us after several years of being planted in the same place. And I've just been always humbled by his choice of becoming a retiree and then getting a civilian job on base, the very base where he'd been an officer. So, yeah, that kind of humility and selflessness is just really, yeah, very moving to me.
We're talking to Sister Bethany Madonna. Sister, when did you become conscious of the reality of abortion?
I was 8 or 9 years old, and we were walking in a church parking lot, and I was, you know, when you're learning to read, you read everything, and I read a bumper sticker that said, "Be a hero, save a whale, save a baby, go to jail." And I remember bringing it to my mom, and she gave me the very honest, blunt reality of what that bumper sticker meant, that abortion is something permitted in this country, and that women, are tempted to take the lives of their own children, and that there are doctors who do that, and that there are pressures and people who really believe in it. And yeah, it just broke my little heart. And I remember wanting to have a house where the girls could come live with me. I remember saying that to my mom. I wonder if they could just come live with me, you know, and then we could take care of them and take care of their babies. So, yeah, I bless that person. I'll never know who that was, but that they had the courage to have such a bumper sticker, and that it led to a very critical conversation that really changed the trajectory of my life to know what abortion was, and that it was actually a painful reality for women, and a disturbing one.
We're talking to Sister Bethany Madonna. When we come back, we're going to ask her about a certain Saturday morning at 6 a.m. that changed her life. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Sister Bethany Madonna, who made her final vows with the Sisters of Life in 2015. Sister, let's go back to a certain Saturday morning, 6 a.m., and a radical friend said, "Come pray at an abortion center."
Yeah, Michelle. Yeah, my college roommate. So she had a radical conversion, and she would take me all over, give kids the world for terminally ill children at Disney World. We'd go feed the homeless at night. We'd go to the elderly home and sing to them. And then one day she just said, let's go Saturday to the abortion clinic and pray the rosary. And I was like, are you insane? I was like, you can get us all arrested. I mean, this is craziness. And she was like, it's just the rosary. Do you want to come or not? So yeah, I'll never forget that day as long as I live. It's burned into my mind and heart, and I can, replay it. But seeing the sunrise over that kind of dilapidated building and seeing a line of girls, you know, in their pajamas, my age, standing outside looking so pained and abandoned and burdened, and it was just something I'll never, forget. As I just cried. I remember just tears rolling down my eyes, praying the rosary. People were calling out to invite them, to reconsider and to know that there's help and that they're seen. And I just knew that morning that my life would be for these women and for their children who, wouldn't see the light of that day. It was just very piercing and profound.
All right. It's one thing to pray the rosary. It's another thing to decide to become a nun. In 2007, why?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Jack, I'm not going to lie. I definitely always wanted to be married and have a huge family. That was kind of the dream and the plan. Whenever I saw that, I remember my heart would just light. I'd be like, there it is. That's my life right there. But something really gripped my heart, and through a lot of prayer and time in adoration, time going to daily mass, time in conversation with really good friends, you know, reading the theology of the body and what our, that God, you know, has a plan for our life and love that's expressed in different ways. I was captivated. I felt like the Lord was really inviting me to be His in an exclusive way and in a spousal way, and that was really incredible. And yeah, the convincing part was that there was that spiritual maternity was real. I really wrestled with that, but I did come to hear the Lord say, like, yeah, would you be a mother to every child as if it were your own? Would you do that? And I felt like that was an invitation to the hundredfold.
All right. Why the Sisters of Life?
Well, that's kind of a fun story. I was actually visiting a couple other religious communities, and I was with one, and they said, tomorrow we are dropping you off at the Sisters of Life. Talk about rejection. But they could hear in my heart and in my voice and in my thoughts, that I had this charism. And every religious community has a charism, which is a special gift of the Holy Spirit, which is why the Holy Spirit stirs the heart of a founder to raise up a religious community. And they could hear the charism of life in me, the charism to protect and enhance the sacredness of human life, that my life would be a proclamation of the goodness, the beauty, the uniqueness, the sacredness of every person, their destiny, God's mercy, a fathomless mercy that He, wants to be together with us forever in heaven, and He came to reveal that and make it possible.
Tell us about the Sisters of Life, please.
Yeah. Well, we were founded 33 years ago by John Cardinal O'Connor in New York, and we have about 130 sisters now, all over the U.S. and in Toronto, Canada. And we're contemplative active, so we spend half of our day in silence and in prayer, and the rest of our day just flows from that communion and intimacy with Jesus. So we have many different missions. We walk with women who are pregnant and vulnerable to abortion, often with appointments scheduled, and reveal to them their goodness and their capacity for love and connect them with resources. We have a home in Manhattan where pregnant women live with us through their pregnancy and for a time after the baby's born. We host retreats. We do evangelization efforts. We are on college campuses. We have a hope and healing mission for those suffering after abortion, which is really an incredible mission of resurrection, and healing, to watch hearts be restored after that suffering, that profound sorrow. So the hope and healing mission is an incredible mission. And, I'm in the crisis mission for pregnancy care and college outreach here in Phoenix.
All right. Sister, you spend 4 hours a day praying.
Sorry, it's your emphasis is so fun.
Some would say, sister, I don't have any time to pray.
They're not all in a row. The 4 hours are not all in a row. It is split throughout the day.
what do you say to God for 4 hours?
Yeah. Oh, there's so much to say, but there's also so much to hear, from Him, and one of our sisters says there's a lot of being to do, to be with Him and to receive His gaze and to console His heart, really. So we pray the Liturgy of the Hours throughout the day, which is, the Psalms that Jesus prayed and the prayer of the church. We spend two periods in meditation, reading the Word of God and, meditating and holding it and letting it become, part of our heartbeat and our flesh. We adore Jesus in the Eucharist. We pray the Rosary to the Blessed Mother and ask that she would intercede for us, that we would be, more conformed to her Son, that we would have the virtues that those mysteries contain, that we would be able to imitate her and Him in the way that they lived their love and faith. And we also just have time, all of the day is an overflow of that prayer where you're praying to the Holy Spirit, asking Him to guide your conversations, especially with the women that you're walking with.
All right. If there's a listener tonight that says, I admire you, sister, but I don't have any time to pray, What would you say to that person?
Well, I would start with St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life, because he wrote a great book that God knows our states in life, and he knows what's on our plates, and he knows our hearts, and he doesn't demand something of us that is not feasible. So I would say start somewhere, and start within a reasonable space. So if you're a mother of, you know, seven children, maybe find 10 minutes a day in a closet somewhere, you know? And if you're a working man, like maybe there's part of your lunch break is something that could be set aside. Or if you're, a young woman in college and you know that so much of the day is spent on social media or movie watching or whatever, like maybe dedicate a certain part of that that's like can be cut out. And the Lord is not outdone in generosity. When you give him time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes a day, an hour, whatever's feasible, you begin to crave it. It's his time, and he anticipates it, and he can't wait to meet you in it. And he is present and gives you the graces that you need by coming to him.
We're talking to Sister Bethany Madonna. When we come back, we're going to ask her about her current ministry, which is at the Arizona State University Tempe campus. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Sister Bethany Madonna. Sister, tell us about your current ministry.
Sure. So we moved here to Phoenix, Arizona in September of 2021. So this is, we're going on our third year here. And we have a full-time ministry of crisis pregnancy outreach, pregnancy care. And then a secondary mission on ASU's campus in Tempe, where we get to walk with the students, meet with the girls one-on-one, and a table, and host a monthly women's night with different themes on the feminine heart. And it's just been, such a grace to see the Lord mightily at work on that campus.
All right. I quote you now, the largest marginalized group in the world can be found here in the United States. They're the unborn. Sister, do you really believe that life begins at conception?
Oh, yes. Not a doubt in my mind. And it's scientifically proven. It really isn't. That's not a question, even though there's a desire to make it one. But God knows, at the moment of conception, everything is present, the entire unique DNA of a human person who will come to be if given the chance to develop. And it's just miraculous. Conception itself is miraculous, and the details that go into a child coming into the world, the intricacies and the delicacies and all of the specificities that God has in store for each life. He knows the day and the hour. He knows our birthday. He knows our name. He knows the plans that he has for our joy, our freedom, our gifts.
All right. If there's a lady listening tonight that's contemplating an abortion, what would you say to her?
Pregnancy is a major moment. It's a huge transition of life into a different identity and concept of self. And there are many difficulties that can surround it, and many circumstances that make it feel like more of a burden than a joy. And there can be a lot of fear and a lot of pressure, actually, a lot of suggestions, a lot of voices. And what I would say is that you're not alone. You are not alone. And that there are many hearts and many ministries, many men and women who want to be able to uphold you, support you, and surround you, who actually believe in you, believe in your capacity for love, believe in your maternity, believe in the future, your future, and want to provide for you, and not just during the 9 months of pregnancy, but want to see you thrive as a mother and want to uphold you and support you. So I would start with that. I would also say abortion is such a liar. Abortion tells lies to women like, yeah, this will bring back yesterday. This will undo everything. It's like a big eraser. You'll forget about it the next day. And it's a huge lie, and we know that. We know that from the experiences of women in our Hope and Healing mission, where women who have suffered abortions, whether it's a week ago or 70 years ago, come to us, and it is a wound, an excruciating wound to the heart of woman and to the heart of man, quite frankly, to suffer an abortion. Because, you know, even if we feel like we made a mistake, God never does. God never does. And that little person really was chosen and ordained and willed into existence by God. And he provides. He's the provider.
Sister, if there's a woman who has had an abortion,
yeah.
Can God forgive me, sister?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we've walked with women who have had one abortion and women who have multiple abortions, women who were pressured many times, several times, and weren't aware of the effects of certain contraceptions. And yes, the Lord has his arms open and extended. I love the fact that he has his eye on you, he has his heart on you, that he rejoices when the lost lamb is found, you know. And we've seen it so many times where women who have suffered abortion and feel so unforgivable, so the anger and the sorrow and the numbness that can set in because of that experience, to see the Lord like really pursue hearts and find really creative ways. Really creative ways to get your attention and draw you back to the sacrament of confession. Like, the Lord can forgive any sin. There's no sin beyond his mercy, and he desires to set us free. And so it's just kind of needing to overcome the enemy's accusations and his desolations that we can't, you know, we can't approach God, because we can always approach him, and the Lord wants to break that shame and set us free again.
Sister, I agree that God can forgive anything. But yeah. My problem is I've had an abortion, and I can't forgive myself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's not uncommon to really want to punish yourself almost, or like make up for it in some way, or show how sorry I am. And it is a reality for all of us, for every sinner. There's something in us that's like, you know what, I'm going to hold this over myself and rub my face in it and really feel the gravity of it. But again, it's not pleasing to God that we do that, that we beat ourselves black and blue, or that we shame ourselves or hold ourselves in contempt. What he really desires is to ask for that grace, the grace to forgive ourselves. And it is a grace to release ourselves of that debt and to let Jesus pay it, and to ask forgiveness of the child, to say to that little one, forgive me, you know, and to receive anew the gift of my own life and the gift of mercy from not only from God and from the child, but from myself, to grant myself that loving mercy.
We're talking to Sister Bethany Madonna. If you want to learn more, www.sistersoflife.org. Sistersoflife.org. For the last 3 years, your ministry has been with Arizona State University students. Mm-hmm. What have they taught you, sister?
That there is light in the darkness, and that truly there is so much hope and so much beauty in the hearts of young people, even in the midst of a very secularized, ravaging culture of a college campus. I'm stunned at how different in some ways college classroom settings, even, and what's being taught, the different ideologies and things like that, are just very, very distinctly different from what I had to endure. And so watching their courage when they on Christ the King, they do a Eucharistic procession through the campus with the Blessed Sacrament. When we're there, they pray the rosary throughout. They table and they invite their roommates to women's night, and they host Bible studies, and they bring the Lord into their fraternities and sororities, and they They walk roommates who have abortions scheduled, you know, through like they counsel them with love and with our support and with guidance, and they come out of unhealthy relationships and begin living, yeah, chaste, pure, new lives. They, you know, I can't say enough. It's so beautiful to watch Jesus love them and call them to the heights of sanctity, quite frankly, to see them all in prayer and adoration, to watch them go to daily mass on, like, making time for it, you know, around their classes. It's so beautiful to see the Lord calling their hearts to be saints for today.
Sister Bethany Madonna, www.sisterswithanSoflife.org. I met her in November of 2023. At the Good News Conference in Orlando. 1,200 people, speakers included Jordan Peterson, Bishop Barron, Father Mike Schmitz, Immaculata Begiza, Tim Tebow, but in my opinion, the best speaker at that conference was Sister Bethany Madonna. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisullo.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisullo. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Sister Bethany Madonna of the Sisters of Life. The Sisters of Life have a famous prayer, the Litany of Trust. Sister, could you share it with us this evening?
Yes, the Litany of Trust. One of our sisters was wrestling with the Lord on something and said to him, "Just tell me what to do and I'll do it." And he said, "I'm going to teach you to trust me." And then she heard this prayer. So the first part of the prayer, the response is, "Deliver me, Jesus, from anything keeping me from trusting you." And the second part is, "Jesus, I trust in you." So the Litany of Trust. From the belief that I have to earn your love, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear that I am unlovable, deliver me, Jesus. From the false security that I have what it takes, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear that trusting you will leave me more destitute, deliver me, Jesus. From all suspicion of your words and promises, deliver me, Jesus. From the rebellion against childlike dependency on you, deliver me, Jesus. From refusals and reluctances in accepting your will, deliver me, Jesus. From anxiety about the future, deliver me, Jesus. From resentment or excessive preoccupation with the past, deliver me, Jesus. From restless self-seeking in the present moment, deliver me, Jesus. From disbelief in your love and presence, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being asked to give more than I have, Deliver me, Jesus. From the belief that my life has no meaning or worth, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of what love demands, deliver me, Jesus. From discouragement, deliver me, Jesus. That you are continually holding me, sustaining me, loving me, Jesus, I trust in you. That your love goes deeper than my sins and failings and transforms me, Jesus, I trust in you. That not knowing what tomorrow brings is an invitation to lean on you, Jesus, I trust in you. That you are with me in my suffering, Jesus, I trust in you. That my suffering united to your own will bear fruit in this life and the next, Jesus, I trust in you. That you will not leave me orphaned, that you are present in your church, Jesus, I trust in you. That your plan is better than anything else, Jesus, I trust in you. That you always hear me and in your goodness always respond to me, Jesus, I trust in you. That you give me the grace to accept forgiveness and to forgive others, Jesus, I trust in you. That you give me all the strength I need for what is asked, Jesus, I trust in you. That my life is a gift, Jesus, I trust in you. That you will teach me to trust you, Jesus, I trust in you. That you are my Lord and my God, Jesus, I trust in you. That I am your beloved one, Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That was the Litany of Trust from the Sisters of Life. Thank you, sister. All right, I quote you. Fingerprints are by far my favorite of all God's creations.
I do love them, I'm not going to lie. I love that they distinguish you from every other person in the entire planet from the beginning of time till the end. I love that God would do such a thing. It just moves my heart to think that if he's going to take so much time to arrange and design the invisible circle pattern on the end of your finger to be totally unique to you, I just wonder how much time he took on your heart, you know, and the love therein. And I just love thinking about how each of us has a distinct love that's completely unique, totally, yeah, irreplaceable and unrepeatable. I love that. And that the Lord longs to receive our love, and he longs to give us love in a way that only we can receive it.
Anyone that meets you walks away saying the joy, the peacefulness on sister's face is amazing. How it is you have it, and how can I get it, sister?
Oh, honestly, it's Jesus, and it's having wrestled through and surrendered to and accepted his love. You know, there's an interesting thing where we can feel unworthy of it, or we can feel even like maybe it's not available to me, or maybe I have some disconnect, but when we spend time with the Lord and when we come close to him and when we ask him to reveal himself and when we open ourselves to receive grace, it's ready at hand. Like the Lord wants to pour himself out and wants us to accept his love and to really relish it and to live from that place of identity where we're totally his. You know, the beloved daughter of the Father, chosen and redeemed by the Lord Jesus as friend and beloved and really instrument of the Holy Spirit, like one that the Holy Spirit can dwell in.
We're talking to Sister Bethany Madonna, www.sisters.life.org. Sister, you're married to Jesus. What's it like being married to Jesus?
What is it like? It is the greatest treasure of my life and something that I didn't earn or ask for and I don't deserve. And it's just a very beautiful gift to have been called to a vocation that really images what everyone is going to be called to in heaven. I love thinking about that some of us have the privilege living on earth, the foretaste of what we will all live in heaven, which is to be totally Jesus's as beloved, that we are all part of the one bride, the church, and that we will be with him, in union with him, and communion with him in a perpetual, endless sea of love, you know, and a moment that we'll never never end of complete satisfaction and joy. So, yeah, I've laughed with people. I'm like, it's one thing to be in love with a man who gives you flowers, and it's another thing to be in love with the one who made them. Because then, you know, when you're married to Jesus, everything's yours, you know, and everything, everything is gift. So every person I meet is a reflection of him and is somehow communicating him to me. He can surprise me in ways that are beyond, that are supernatural and that are divine. And he knows my heart in such a way. He knows my thoughts before I speak them. He knows my words. He knows my sensitivities and my sorrows and my hopes, my secret hopes. And he knows them. And he makes that known to me, that he's very aware and desires to be with me in them and desires to fulfill them.
All right. You also have great reverence to the Blessed Virgin, Jesus's mother. Why?
Yeah, this was an area of great growth. I think I grew up a little bit distant from her, kind of not understanding her role and thinking that she was so separated from me, being sinless, and that she might even be a little annoyed with me. And I think that was just such a misconception of her and who she is and her love and her tenderness. And I think I had a beautiful experience of her when I was had just entered religious life and was a novice. And I felt that she had heard me and that she had interceded for me and that she really cared about little things. And it was the first time it kind of awoke me to her maternal embrace of me and my little and big needs. And it brought me to Cana, and just thinking about how precious and how firm she was at Cana and being able to intercede for a miracle and how Jesus wanted to do that for her. So it's given me this whole new confidence that when I come to Our Lady, when I come close to her, like, I'm embraced by her, I'm received by her, I'm guided by her, taught, led, and that she brings, she does intercede for me with the Lord Jesus to work the miracle of Cana in my life when I don't feel like I have wine.
Sister Bethany Madonna, your best days are ahead of you. Thanks much for all you do. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.